Chop. For the help he has given to us thus far, for all the messages we have listened since the retreat began, and for the opportunity also to let the power of God shine and beam through our marriages and our homes. Let's pray that God will give us Christian homes. God will give us Christian marriages. Pray that everything that's gone amiss in your home, in your marriage, the power of God will quicken everything that is dead. The wine that is running out or has probably run out of your marriage, Christ Jesus has power to restore. And you want to pray that the Lord will do that, the Lord will perform that miracle in your marriage. Almighty God, we bless your name. Thank you for making us vessels of your grace, your power, and your honor. Father, we thank you for this moment and for the opportunity to continue to hear your word. Lord, we pray that you give us understanding, you give us insight, you give us wisdom, every virtue we need, O God, to fulfill this ministry you've given to us, you will abundantly supply. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to know you are there. Can you give me an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Must you know you are there. So we are looking at the power of love and submission in the family. The power of love and submission in the family. In your shot there, the image on your screen now, we see swans and the cygnets, the young ones. What do you make of this image? I need one sister, one brother to help. Just give us your commentary, your impression. Sister first. Okay, the sisters are still observing. If you are ready, just unmute your mic and give us your commentary, your observation.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I see where the two heads of the parent are joined has drawn that symbol of love, and the children are within that love.
God bless you, Gratio, for that observation, wonderful observation. Any sister to
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I can also see that their heads joined together. There are drops. I don't know if it's drops of water or something from the parents that trickles down to their babies. Thank you.
God bless you. That's very deep, Sister Esther. Thanks for your observation and your commentary. That's the power of love and submission. It has a trickle-down effect. And you see, you know, the love and the children, the young one, the signet, they are enjoying the love. They are under the canopy of the love of the parents. That is the kind of home God wants for his people. And I pray it shall be so for us in Jesus' name. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. As we read verse 4, Hebrews 13, the verse numbered 4. Hebrews 13, verse 4. We are told marriage is honorable in all. What does it mean? Marriage is to be honored by all. And the bed undefiled, but warmongers. An adulteress God will judge. Those who abuse and adulterate this holy institution of God, God will judge. You know, it's a wonderful gift God has given to us. And God just didn't create marriage and give us marriage for nothing. He had a purpose. That the home is supposed to be the bedrock for society, for the state, and for the church. It is that we should glue these two together. And if you check very well, the state of the church is the exact reflection of the state of our homes. The state of every country is the state, the reflection, the replica of what is happening in the individual homes. And the love and submission we are talking about today, they are two essential, indispensable ingredients for every Christian marriage to work and to be a blissful one. And where these things are thrown away, that marriage becomes just a marriage. The marriage then becomes a mirage. It's just a shadow. The real thing is gone. It's not what they desired and what they expected. They have something completely different. I pray our marriages will be what they ought to be. And the Lord tells us then that husband and wife, be all of one mind. Your personalities are different. Your backgrounds are different. Your education is different. Your social standing may be different, but you can agree on some things. Be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. You have compassion for your wife. You have compassion for your husband. Love as brethren. Love as siblings. Love as your fellow brother or sister in the church. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Be polite. If we were just to go with this verse alone and to work on it, how wonderful will our marriages be? Let's look at the unconditional command of love from the husband. The unconditional command of love from the husband. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, as we read verse number 25. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, there are husbands in the house. If you are here, you are a man, you are not married, you will be a husband, and we pray God makes it so. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, love is a noun, but in the context it is used here, in the context the Lord is speaking to husbands, it is a verb, it's an action word. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. This is self-love. What does it mean? It means that if you love your wife, you are not doing your wife a favor, you are loving yourself. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Today we hear about body harm and all that, but naturally nobody would deliberately try to harm their body, try to injure their body. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own body, but nourishes and cherishes it. You ate breakfast, you have eaten lunch, you are nourishing your body. You don't hate your body, you love your body, you nourish it and you are cherishing it. And the Lord wants us to understand that your wife is part of your body, and whatever you do for the body to keep it in a better shape, to nourish and to cherish it, you ought to do for your wife also. That is what Christ has done for the church, and he wants us to follow suit. Colossians chapter 3, I need a man, I need a husband to read that for me. Colossians 3 verse 19. 3:19.
Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them.
Oh, bless you. Husbands, and you see this one too, is a verb. Love your wives and be not against them. Occasions will come that will force you to be bitter, but the command, the charge is, whatever it is, be not bitter against them. Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, let's read verse 6,
and I read, he said furthermore unto me, son of man, seest thou what they do?
Songs of Solomon, 8:6.
Sorry, I think I'm reading. Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, I read verse 6. Set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thy arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The cold, therefore, are coals of fire, which art the most vehement flame.
Verse 7.
Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contempt.
God bless you, Pastor. You see the strong terms in which the Bible paints love. Love is as strong as death. And we all know the power of death. And if love actually overpowers death, it means love is very strong. And then we are told that many waters cannot quench love. Many issues, many challenges, many problems, many difficulties that will come into the marriage should not quench the love. Whatever betides, love ought to win and love ought to stand. That is the charge. That is the command the Lord is giving to us, brothers. And the kind of love the Lord is calling us to is just the replica of the love that Christ had for his church. And so it's no mean responsibility that the Lord has placed on our shoulders. And, you know, it's often very easy for the men to say, submit, submit, submit. But before Christ will call the church to submission, he had done something for the church. He has paid a huge price. A huge sacrifice had been made for the church. So you ask yourself, on what basis should your wife submit? What sacrifice have you made? What is the price you have paid for that love? It is not love that is passive, it is love that is active. It is love that has work to do. And we all know the word love, and there are actually different shades of love. We have the phileo, that is ordinary affectionate love we show to brother or sister in church. But this love that ought to exist between husband and wife, it's completely different. It's a stronger, higher one. It's the agape, agapao love. And it means that seeking the highest good for another. It means that if you love your wife, you will not put that woman down. You will not frustrate that woman. You will not hinder her forward march. You are always seeking how best to make the woman, your wife, the best she ought to be. The husband's love is not subject to the submission of the wife. It is unconditional. You know, Christ sacrificed before, you know, he got the bride unto himself, before the church became what it ought to be. You know, God didn't wait for us to be better before he saved us. In that condition where we didn't deserve his love, we didn't deserve that sacrifice, that's when we got that sacrifice. And that is the responsibilities the Lord has played on our shoulders, brothers. The love the Lord is calling us to is not love that is lordly. The command is that we should be lovely, not lordly. This love the Lord is calling us to is the kind of love that suffers long, that exercises understanding and patience. And you can never be overpatient in marriage. It's a school. We don't graduate from it. We only ask for God's grace to be better and better every day. I've been patient enough with this woman. I am tired. Go back to God and ask for grace. Remember, the picture is that of Christ's sacrifice for the church, the death that made him stoop so low. She doesn't deserve my love anymore. Then you didn't deserve his salvation. Because you didn't qualify. That is the picture. That is the responsibility. This is the kind of love that is obliging, willing, and eager to help. It is the love that is vibrant, enthusiastic, energetic, wanting to do something, showing something. It's there, it's visible. Your wife sees it. She's not in doubt at all in her mind that my husband loves me. It is the kind of love that is empathetic. You know, empathy makes you, you know, put yourself in the shoes of what people are going through. It makes you step back to look at your wife, to observe her, to share her pain, and to see what you can realistically do to help the situation. That is the love the Lord is calling us to, brothers. It is no mean responsibility. And we need the grace of God to be able to rise to the occasion. What kind of love is the Lord talking about? What are the characteristics of this love? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's going to be all brothers' affair. One verse each. Just pick a verse, brother, and read for us. 4 to 7. So I need four brothers to read that. A verse each, please.
Verse 4.
Please go ahead.
Verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself.
Please, you only read one verse.
It's just one verse that I'm completing, sir.
All right.
It's moved up. That's verse 4.
Right.
Verse 5. Doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil.
Bless you, pastors.
Verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth.
God bless you, pastor.
Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things.
God bless you, pastor. That is the kind of love the Lord is calling us to. So you see, it's a many-sided thing. And we ought to examine ourselves in the mirror of the Word of God and see the kind of love the Lord is calling us to. It's not just love, love, love. What kind of love is it? It is the kind of love that rejoices not in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. It's not that you are there because of, yeah, they say love, love, love. You see your wife going astray and, well, it's love. I love you. Love corrects. Rejoices in the truth. You know that thing is a lie and say, well, you've been very smart. No, love will correct. And you see, the Lord tells us that he chastens, he corrects the children he loves. But that love, that correction is not insult and abuse. It's not stretching your hand to touch your wife. That's a no-no. That's not what God has called us to. And I told you the kind of love the Lord is calling us to is an unconditional love. Let me read this to you, brethren, about a study that was made a few years ago on runaway wives. And the question is, what do you think was discovered to be the main reason wives ran away? And the result, anybody to help us? Maybe sisters will speak. Someone speaking. Main reason why wives run away.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Maybe she's been abused.
God bless you. Any more? Sisters, are you there?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
She doesn't feel loved.
She doesn't feel loved. God bless you. Let's get a final one.
Doesn't feel appreciated.
You got it. God bless you. It says it was lack of appreciation. That was the result of the survey. Lack of appreciation. And the writer goes on to say, and I bet that a similar study made of runaway husbands would come out the same way. Brothers, true? Your mics are muted, bro.
True.
God bless you. And he says, we often take our spouses so much for granted that we never let them know we appreciate them. A member of one of our classes told of a request made by his wife. She and a group of other women in her church were involved in a self-improvement program. She asked her husband to help her by listing 6 things he believed she could do to help her become a better wife. That was the assignment given to them. So the wife went to the husband and said, tell me, what are 6 things you have discovered that I should do so that I will become a better wife for you? He reported to the class, I was surprised by such a request. Frankly, it would have been easy for me to list 6 things I would like to change about her. My heaven, she could have listed 1,000 things she would like to change about me. But I didn't. He didn't give her the list. I said to her, let me think about it and give you an answer in the morning. The next morning, I got up very early and called the florist, the people who sell flowers, and had them send 6 red roses to my wife with a note saying, I can't think of 6 things I would like to change about you. I love you the way you are. I can't think of 6 things I would like to change about you. I love you the way you are, bro. Love her the way she is. You know you yourself, you are not a finished project. Your baggage is full of issues. Love her the way she is. And she knows that there are things she has to improve. She's aware. Let's end up. When I arrived at home that evening, who do you think greeted me at the door? That's right, my wife. She was almost in tears. Needless to say, I was extremely glad I had not criticized her as she had requested. The following Sunday at church, after she had reported the results of her assignment, several women with whom she had been studying came up to me and said, that was the most considerate thing I have ever heard. It was then I realized the power of appreciation. God gave us what we didn't deserve. When we were sinners, he made his son to die for us. It was an unconditional love he showed to us. And brothers, this is what the Lord is calling us to. And you know we have a lot of prayer points today because there is work to do. And God will give us grace in Jesus' name. Let's move on to our second point of discussion. The unquestionable charge of submission from the wife. Sisters, many of you don't want to hear this word today. It sounds, I can't find a word. But it's sadly what the scriptures call us to. We've seen the responsibilities of the husband. Let's zero in on that of the wife. Ephesians chapter 5, sisters, please, let's do it the same way. One verse per sister. Ephesians 5, 22 to 24.
5, 22 to 24. Praise the Lord. Amen. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wife.
Verse 22.
Okay, sorry, sir. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Obviously.
For the husband is
only one verse for you. Another sister. Okay. Another verse.
For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body.
God bless you. Who is doing verse 24 for us?
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
God bless you, my sister. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. If Christ were to be here physically, I wonder if any sister would resist the authority of Christ. He would want to be humble, to submit to the authority of Christ. And the Lord says that he's calling on us, calling on us, calling on us, calling on wives, that your submission is as unto the Lord. You know, our love, the love for the husband was just like Christ's own. And the Lord is saying that your submission also ought to be like that you will give to Christ. We will look at the details later. But we see the responsibility there. And the reason why the Lord is calling wives so to do, because God is a God of order, verse 2, for the husband is the head of the wife, without question, even as Christ is the head of the church, nobody questions that, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church submits to Christ, so let the wives also be to their own husbands in everything, in the big and the small things. Colossians 3, verse 18. Colossians chapter 3, the verse numbered 18. 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. It is not blanket submission. If your husband tells you to do anything that is against scripture, it is there that we say we ought to obey God rather than man. You see, that is the kind of authority God has set everywhere. The scriptures call us to obey those in authority. But when those in authority begin to act as if they are God, when those in authority begin to tell us to do things against God and against scripture, then we say we ought to obey God rather than man. So your submission to your husband is not blind, it's not blanket submission, as it is fit in the Lord. And you are a Christian woman, you know what your husband is telling you to do directly is against the scriptures. You don't submit on that occasion. But you are polite, you show Christian virtues, and you let God have his way. What does it mean to submit? What are the traits, the qualities of a submissive woman? A submissive woman is a sensible woman. What does it mean? She's a woman who is prudent and reasonable. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Proverbs 14, verse 1. Sisters, help me. Proverbs 14, verse 1.
Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her.
God bless you. Every wise, every prudent, every reasonable, every sense builds her house and builds her home. But the foolish woman destroy her own hand, her own home, with her own hands. It's not any demon doing it, her own hands, her own attitude, her own behavior is destroying the home. A submissive woman is an understanding woman. You need to come to understanding with your husband. You know, you don't seem to agree on anything. You need to work on that. Even woman, trust is there. You know that the driver with a steering wheel will do a good job. And brothers, we have work to do to keep, to maintain, and to gain this trust. Because if the trust is broken, it will be difficult for this to be fulfilled. A submissive woman is a woman who is mannered, she is polite. In the home to the husband, and she is intimate with the husband. More details on this later. A submissive woman is a supportive woman. It's not I said my opinion, you didn't take it, I don't support what you are doing. No. You may have had your say, but things didn't go the way you thought it would. You are still supportive. You are not in the home to seek your own interests. I just want children. No, that's selfishness. It's a project. We have a common goal, and we ought to work towards it, supportive and satisfied. You are satisfied with your marriage, you are satisfied with your husband, the man God gave to you. You are not comparing your husband with other men. Look at this man and the wife. Look at their family. Are they also not in the same church? Are they also not? Is it not the same Finland? And all this comparison. We learned about appreciation, that it's not only even a woman thing. Men also have the same issues. Be satisfied. Be content with the man the Lord has given to you. Yeah, he may have issues, but you know you also have some. A submissive woman is an industrious, hardworking woman. Let's pick a few verses from the famous Proverbs chapter 31. The virtuous woman, Proverbs 31. Let's look at verse 10. Proverbs 31 from verse 10 to 19. Who can find a virtuous, submissive woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's a submissive woman. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. It's not only the man who is killing himself. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night, and giveth meat, food to her household, and portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her husbands. She planted a vineyard. She gathered her hands with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. You see the work there. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow. She is not afraid of the cold. She is not afraid of the winter, for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. That is a submissive woman. She is industrious in the home. She's obedient. Obedient to clear scriptural commands, reasonable commands of the husband. Because if you struggle to submit yourself to your husband, and what your husband is telling you to do does not break scripture, then there's a good chance that you are struggling to submit to Christ also. She's noble, unselfish. That is what the Lord is calling us to. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Sister, help me to read. 1 Peter 3, 1 to 6. 3, 1 to 6. First Peter 3, 1 to 6.
First Peter chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Amen.
God bless you for the reading, my sister. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, you see the obedience there. You see the submission there. That is the way we ought to go, sisters. And in all these readings, it's submission, subjection to your own husband. You can easily submit to the husband of other people, but you struggle to do that at home. You know, basic politeness, courtesy is missing. And you were not even like that when you didn't marry. I mean, you knew the brother before, you were in church and you were so nice, but the moment you got married, everything has changed. No respect at all. That's not the way we ought to go. It means there is something wrong somewhere. And that is why the Lord brought us here to fix that which has gone amiss in the home and in the marriage. And then we are told, in submitting to the authority of a husband, a wife is submitting to the Lord's authority. This in itself should remove any attitude of reluctance or rebellion. It is God's charge, God's command, as he commands husbands to love. Let me leave you with this long quotation from Julia Shellhammer, a woman. And let me read, as you can also see. It says, when a woman has the idea that her own opinion is as good as that of anyone else, and goes ahead without the consent of her husband, she is treading on dangerous ground. His judgment, that is the judgment of your husband, may be poor. And often a wife has better judgment than the husband. And that is true. But after she has expressed her opinion, then it is a duty to let him do as he thinks best and take the consequences. That is the essence of submission. He will see sooner or later his mistake if he has made one, and will learn to respect his companion's conviction. Yeah, you said something. Your suggestion was that, oh, we buy a new car, the man wants a new car, your husband wants a new car. You also say, I have never gone on holidays since we married. I'm in prison, always here, yes, summer is coming and going, summer is coming, it's holiday. Husband say, car, holiday, car, holiday, car. Sister, you have had your say. And indeed, I share the sentiment. But you see the car in the home. And then your husband comes and throws the new key to you. He says, come and see. Oh, leave me alone. From this day, because of Esther, we even start taking baths. You are so angry, you are not going to even sit in the car because your holiday was scattered. I share your frustration. That's the essence of submission. But details later. It is a common failing of a woman to talk and argue and hold out for her point. That's no good. If her way is right, sisters, it's the woman who is speaking. If her way is right, she is not responsible for the result of the opposite course being taken. Of course, it is the husband's place as a gentleman, as a loving husband, and especially as a lover to consider her judgment without prejudice. And men are saying, yes, Pastor, tell them, let them hear more, tell them. If you are really a loving husband and you are doing your duty where the Lord has committed to our hands, you will not always be bullying your way through. It doesn't work that way. And always using submission as a weapon. What sacrifice have you made? And sometimes it's things that will be mutually beneficial in the home. Maybe there are some things we need in the kitchen. You eat from the kitchen. And then your wife will say, can we buy this? I need a new blender. I need a new rice cooker. And it's like announcement we do in church every day. You are getting the announcement every day, constantly on the slide. But it's not working. And it's not that you don't have the money. You are buying things for yourself. You are buying others, but you haven't seen the need for that. Bro, that can kill. It is the husband's place as a gentleman and especially as a lover to consider her judgment without prejudice. But when it comes to a final decision, he should have the privilege of saying what should be done. Sisters, that's the essence of submission. You know, everywhere, God has placed authority. You go to work, you have supervisor there. The country has president. Nobody questions, why do we have president in Finland? Everybody can be president. Why do I have a supervisor in the workplace? Everybody can be a supervisor. No, authority is needed. So there will be orderliness in every organization. That is why the Lord has made it so. Sisters, are you there? Can you give me an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Some sisters didn't say their amen. Oh dear.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at the final point of discussion, the uncommon combination of love and submission in the family. Uncommon combination. Let's look at Ephesians 5, 21 and 33. Any brother to read 21 for us, and sister read verse 33 for us. Ephesians 5, 21, 33. Brother, read 21 for us. Sister, read verse 33 for us.
Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God.
God bless you. Any sister doing 33 for us?
Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
God bless you, my sister. You see the responsibility in verse 21, brothers, we're told submitting yourselves one to another. Submission is mutual also. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. It's just a Christian virtue. And so that is why you cannot weaponize submission in your home and always beating your wife with that weapon. Submit, submit, submit. Before we go to 22, we have to stop at 21. Submit yourself. Yielding. That's why you are not always having your way. You ought to listen to your wife. You ought to discuss. That is the essence of mutual submission. Verse 33, we are told that the wife ought to, you see love and submission combined there. Let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. What does it mean to reverence your husband? It means you respect him, you delight in him, you prefer him, you treasure him, you honor him, you hold him dear. That is the essence of reverence. And if we combine love and submission in the home, what a beautiful home we will have. 1 Corinthians 11, let's look at verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, 8 and 9. The uncommon combination of love and submission. But I would have you know that, sisters, brothers, the head of every man is Christ. Nobody questions that. And the head of the woman is the man. It shouldn't be open to any debate. And the head of Christ is God. Verse 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. And the Lord doesn't give us any culture as the reason for this arrangement in the home. It's not a Western or African or Asian thing. The Lord gave us that from Genesis. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. That sister is saying, that's why I don't like the Bible. It's always putting us down. No, no. The word of God is so balanced. In fact, Christianity has rather dignified women if you take time to study cultures. Look at verse 11. Nevertheless, Neither is the man without the woman. The man is not complete without the woman. Neither the woman without the man in the Lord. Do you see the mutuality there? You see the balance there? You see the combination there? For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. As the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. That is the way God wants us to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's read the verse numbered chapter 7, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 7 from verse 1 to 5. Now concerning the things which whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman outside the confines of marriage. Sister, when your husband is coming to touch you, don't quote this verse for him. I said even the Bible says it is not good. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. No. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, her marital, conjugal, nuptial rights. It is her right. And likewise also, wife unto the husband. Do you see the balance there? The husband render unto the wife a due benevolence, and sister, you also do the same for your husband. It's not, and I'm really, really interested in this thing. You have to be interested. It's duty demands it. It's part of the ministry. It's part of the assignment. It's part of the contracts. We talked about intimacy, and I told you that we'll details later. And this is what the Lord is calling us to. A submissive woman will not weaponize her body against the husband. And the Lord gives us the reason why we need to pay heed to this. Why intimacy is so crucial in marriage. Verse 5, defraud ye not one the other. Husband, don't defraud your wife. Wife, don't defraud your husband of her marital rights. Except it be with consent for a time. Consent. What's the meaning of consent? Can one person have consent? Okay, Pastor, you might be saying something. Maybe you want me to tell us something. You are muted, Pastor.
I was saying those are.
Oh, okay, so it takes two to have consent. So you may have a decision, but we haven't reached consensus. There should be consensus. Of course, we have to be reasonable. But it tells us the level of responsibility the Lord has placed on our shoulders. Consent. Except it be for consent, and it is only for a time, that ye may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again. Not for Bible study or revival service. Come together again. This is for intimacy. Again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency, for your lack of self-control. And there are many, many things today that Satan will use, the social media and all these things that are flying around. That That is the duty, and it is mutual. It's not only speaking to sisters, it's brothers and sisters, husband and wife. A man that is always glued to his computer or his television or whatever he has on the screen and his headset and everything and forgets that the wife is there, well, that's not duty. The Lord will give us a new home, a Christian home. We'll make our marriages heaven on earth in Jesus' name. First Peter 3, let's read verse 7. Seven to 11. Likewise, ye husband, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Do you see the mutuality there? In Ephesians 5, we were told that the wife should reverence the husband. And here it is the husband that should give honor, reverence, respect also unto the wife. So, bro, it's not enough to say, oh, respect me. I'm your husband. Give me respect, reverence, respect. But how do you also treat her? Mutuality. As unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. If we fail to do this, our prayers don't travel beyond our ceilings. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. You are husband and wife, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Polite, basic politeness and courtesy should be there. The way you talk to your husband, the way you talk to your wife. Your husband is not your child, and your wife is not your child. Not rendering evil for evil, whatever happens, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, insult for insult. It's a competition of who can pick the dirtiest mud and throw at each other, at the other. But contrarywise, blessing. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from that they speak no well. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. You remember the image we have for point one? A young couple with flower and all that. It's a journey. One day we need to come to this point. But the love should still be there. The submission should still be there. The mutuality should still be there. Age should not take the wine out of our marriages. You are already 2 years, 5 years, and you are tired in that marriage. Oh, I'm tired in this marriage. I am tired. Only 2 years. It's a long road. It's a lifetime contract. That's why we need to pray today that the Lord will send power for love and submission into our homes. Submission should flow naturally from a wife with a loving husband. You don't need to command your wife, I'm your husband, submit to me. Submit if you are showing that love. Any right-thinking woman ought to reciprocate that with submission. Jemma tells us that happy is the home where love rules, where the husband is the personification of love, where the wife submits to his judgment in everything. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. The Lord has shown us the duty. Husband, you have seen your role. The love that the Lord commands in that marriage. It's unconditional, it's sacrificial. It is that love that suffers long, that is loyal. It's that love that is obliging, ready and willing to help, to put a hand to the wheel. It is that love that is vibrant, that's empathetic. That's how Christ loved the church. Because he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to succor. That's empathy. Let's pray God will give us grace to rise to the occasion. Love. Let there be love in our marriages, in our homes. Duty demands it. Oh, you remember that man. The wife had come for her mistakes, 6 of them. And the husband could have given her a tall list of that. But she ended up getting roses. Bro, you can do the same. You can do the same. You can turn that complaint, that bitterness to appreciation. That little spark you see there, blow it into fire, and she will always want to do things she will appreciate. Appreciate her for the food. She did her best to serve you. She will naturally want to do her best for you. Appreciate her, however it goes. Sisters, appreciation is also mutual. The little kindness, the little mercies, let's appreciate one another. That is the way to go. You've seen the essence of submission. And what it entails. Love and submission are mutual. They are mutual. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of the Lord. It's not a weapon for the man to be using on the woman alone. No, it's mutual. We serve one another. Let's pray for grace to rise to the occasion. Let's pray God will help us. Let's pray God will lead us. Let's pray God will send this power of love and submission into our homes. Pastor, please take it.